Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Nehemiah chapter 3, and you didn't take part. It was maybe too much for you. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, there is reward for serving the Lord in a messianic kingdom. The Lord is going to reward His own who serve Him. And you notice that it says here that the Tekoites did work. And you know what happened now, and I took a note of it actually in my preparation for that, that the Tekoites are mentioned twice. They are also mentioned in verse 27. Notice, let me read verse 27. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. Now, why do you think the Tekoites' name is mentioned twice? Well, it is interesting because they had to do twice the work. Because the nobles, they put not their necks into the work of the Lord. They were not willing to take part in the work of the Lord. In other words, the responsibility is falling upon someone else to do twice the job because another doesn't take his or her responsibility in the building of the body of Messiah. We all have responsibilities. We all have privilege, but we also have a responsibility to build. And so they build the ship gate, represent the cross of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, whereby we were saved. They also build the fish gate, which represent the need of sharing the gospel, of telling others what God have done for us through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Now let's go down in those gates and let's go now to the next gate in verses 6 to verse 12. We have the third gate and it is called the Old Gate. Shar HaYeshana or HaShar HaYashan. The Old Gate. And so we read in verse 6. Moreover, the Old Gate repaired Yehoyada, the son of Pashea, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof, and they set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Maltiah, the Gibeonite, and Yadon, the Meronitite, the man of Gibeon, of Mitzpeh, unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Next unto them repaired Uziel, the son of Harchaya, the goldsmith. Next unto them also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall, or the wide wall. Let me read verse 9. He said, and next unto him repaired Raphaiah, the son of Hud, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Verse 10, and next unto him repaired Jedidiah, the son of Harumph, over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabniah, and Malchuya, the son of Harim, and Hashuv, the son of Pachat Moab, repaired the other piece, and the tower of the furnace. And finally, verse 12, and next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Chalosh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. So now we have the third gate. And the third gate is called the Old Gate. In Hebrew, we call it Shar HaYeshana, or HaShar HaYashan, the Old, Old Gate. And there is something also that is very important for us to learn from this third gate. I would like to suggest that this gate represents before us that all the people of God are responsible to follow the Lord in the ancient path. You know, we live in a time where there's so many new views about so many new things. You know, and every time you open the TV or you open the radio or you read some magazine or something like that, or even new books that people are writing, from generation to generation, everybody come up with a new thing, and new teachings, and there are new views. And we are so quickly adrifted to a new thing that someone teaches us. And how important, beloved brothers and sisters, for us as believers to learn to stick to the ancient truth of the Word of God. The teaching that our forefathers had given us, whether it is the people of Israel, the prophets of Israel, or whether it is the early disciples that had given to us the truth of the present day dispensation. Let me read you a verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The early believers sticked to the apostles' doctrine. They didn't run around after every new form of doctrine, but they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Notice that in verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of the bread, and of prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders were signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had one thing in common. That's how the church began. And of course, today you and I live on the other side of the church age. The things are no longer the same. Here you notice it says they all were together in one accord in verse 44. And they had all things in common. Everything began very well. But look at the condition today in the body of Messiah. In the history of our people, everything began very well in the beginning. The men of old, the men of Israel and women of Israel came out of Egypt and everything began well. But time passes by. Then new things have been introduced. By the way, these people who came back from Babylon, why they were in Babylon? Because a few years earlier, instead of worshiping the true and living God, they have allowed themselves to worship idols and all the things that the nations around introduced among our people Israel. That's why they were taken to Babylon for 70 years. That's why the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. That's why the gates were burnt with fire. They should have been in Jerusalem all along, but they thought that the new thing will be the great thing for them. So they end up taking the new things, and they've been drifted away and ended up to be further and further and further until God had to come in judgment and scatter them and bring Nebuchadnezzar to take them away to Babylon. So the appeal was, remain in the old path, in a simple ways that God has established in His Word. Let me show you what Jeremiah appealed to Israel. See, Jeremiah was one of those that was carried captive also. And he suffered because the nation did not submit to the Word of God. So look what he said to his own brethren in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But look at the answer. But they said, we will not walk therein. You see, Jeremiah was warning our people of all the people of Israel. Israel, he said, Judah, he says, you stand in the way, look for the old path. Now you see, you know, we always seem to want to have something new as if we are going to renovate the Bible. As if God's word is going to change because you come or I come with a new idea. Beloved brothers and sisters, let me tell you. If this is the word of the Lord, it is the word of the Lord. We can't add anything to it. We can't subtract anything from it. It will never change. You and I will try, the enemy will try to change things. We cannot change God. God wants to change us to be conformed to His image. We are not going to change God, no God's Word. No religion can ever change the Word of God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of the universe. He is the redeemer of mankind. He is the Word of God and remain true to itself. So Jeremiah said to our people of old, and look how sad it is. He says, Israel, ask for the old path where it is a good way. Walk in this good way, Israel. You're going to find rest to your soul. Just do it. But the answer was, we will not walk therein. Okay, God said. You are not going to walk therein. Okay, I'll bring Nebuchadnezzar and you're going to see where you're going to be. And then later on, when they were in Babylon, they were singing this song, Psalm 137. Oh, Jerusalem, if I'll forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I will not place Jerusalem above my chiefest joys. But it was too late, because they were by the rivers of Babylon. And they were weeping when they remember Jerusalem, the good old days. You see, brothers and sisters, do you think you and I are different? It's the same thing with us today, with the body of Messiah. Somebody always comes to us with a new thing. And they think that we all should follow this new thing. The Bible tells us to stick to the ancient things, the things that God had given to us. And Nehemiah, in his third chapter, lists before us the old gate. And don't let anything new draw you away from the Lord. If it is really from the Lord, it would be an old thing that was already given to us in God's Word. There is nothing new under the sun. God's Word remain the same, and we are encouraged to follow Him and to submit to Him and not to allow the world to affect us and to change us. Let me read one more verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The apostle is telling the brothers and sisters of Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, there is no difference between Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. All of them were raised by God to lead God's people closer to God and closer to Yeshua the Messiah. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, you and I are encouraged as well today to go and follow that old path, the path that was given to us in the Scripture. You know, I'm so thankful for some of the brethren that I have been exposed to, who are firmly carrying on to walk with the Lord, steady, continuing on, not one day this way and another day this way, like moving by the wind of men's opinion. They read their Bible, they read the Scripture, they see what the Bible say, they submit to it, and they became pillars in the assemblies. Pillars that you and I need so much, like Nehemiah, a pillar who stood for the things of God in the midst of opposition all around him. And you and I fail so much. We are like shifting by the winds of human opinion and shifting by the winds of men's thoughts and all kind of idea of people. God's Word will never change, and we need the grace of God to remain steady, close to Him. And He's able to help us. And when we fail, and we do, and sin does so easily beset us, the right thing to do is to repent before the Lord and to turn back to Him so He can put us back on that ancient path, on the old way that is given to us in His Word. Now, look at the people who participated in the buildings of the walls and the gates. First of all, you notice in verse 8, you have the goldsmith. These are people who are working with gold. In Hebrew, we call it sofim. If your necklace broke or your chain broke, you go to them and they melt the gold together and put it together. You know, they could say, come on, I'm sitting in my office working with gold. I don't have the strength to go and build these walls of Jerusalem. I'm not going to build this. But look, they were not qualified carpenters. They were not qualified builders. But they were willing to put the energy into building the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And what they are, according to verse 8, they were goldsmiths. But they were willing to serve among the people of Israel and to get up from the chair and put hard work into the things of the Lord in building the walls. Look at another group here that are called here apothecaries, but in Hebrew is the word rakachim. Rakachim are simply pharmacists. They are working also and they're putting medicine together. In Hebrew, rokeach means a pharmacist. Rokhim means pharmacists in plural. And all what they do, they're putting pills together and give you the medicine so you can get those medicine to help you with your problem. They got up from that work. And they went forward for this hard labor to put stone upon stone in order to build this wall that will protect them and the people of Israel from their enemies. And also to mention, you have the Giv'onite. You remember who were the Giv'onite? The Giv'onite were those who actually lied to the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 9. And they were not actually Jewish. They were not part of the people of Israel. And they didn't want Israel to destroy them. And so they said that they came from a far country. But actually they were near there. And yet you see the Giv'onim, they also took part. In other words, you find out that they were influenced by the rest of the nation to build the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And fourthly, I want to mention in verse 10, someone was building against his house. You notice that in verse 10? Next unto them repaired Jedidiah, the son of Harmaf, even over against his house. Now that's interesting because they were building the walls of Jerusalem, but apparently the house was very near the wall. And it tells us another thing, that to build against the house, there is a responsibility for us to protect our own family. You know, the enemy come into the lives of the family and destroy household. Marriages are broken. Relationship between parents and children are broken. Children with their own brothers and sisters are broken. Many believers, their children do not follow the Lord anymore because the enemy have attacked them in such a way. And some husbands don't believe. Some wives don't believe. And the chaos that could exist. So when they build against the house, they were wise. They were saying, listen, I want to take care of my wife. I want to take care of my husband. I want to take care of my parents. I want to take care of my children. I'm building the wall because my house will be protected. And how the enemy caused havoc among the homes of the believers. And perhaps we worked and we built and we took care of our house and still the enemy attacked us. But nevertheless, they were wise to take care of the building of the wall that was against their house. So this is the old gate. Now, verse 13, we have the fourth gate called the Valley Gate. It says here, the Valley Gate, call it Shar Hagai in Hebrew, repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Sanoah. They built it. They set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits of wall unto the dung gates. Notice that these people have repaired the valley gate, but yet another 1,000 cubits of the wall. They must have worked hard to build much of the wall. But what does the valley gate or Shar Hagai represent? Well, if the sheep gate represents Yeshua's death for us on the tree, And if the fish gate represent the importance of sharing the word of God, the gospel, with others around us, and if the old gate represent the necessity of walking in the old path, in the way that the Bible, the word of God, give us, well, the valley gate represent the importance of humility, of going down to the valley and not priding ourselves and exalting ourselves and thinking that we are superior than somebody else. God have always taught our forefathers to remove pride from them. You know, pride is the last thing that dies in us. We are often such a proud people. There is a pride of race. There is a pride of face. There's a pride of place. They even pride of faith. We think that our faith, we are the most spiritual people around the world. And God wants to teach us the importance of humility. Brothers and sisters, we will never be able to build a right together the body of Messiah if we had this arrogance and pride in our lives. It is essential for us to be a humble people. A people that are humbled before the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19. We read, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be in humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Notice James chapter 4. In verse 6, Yaakov, James, has spoken to these early Jewish believers to whom he wrote, and he said to them, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble. In 1 Peter 5, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And it is so important, beloved brothers and sisters, that the Lord will help us to develop humility in our life. And I also would like to suggest that the valley gate will also represent not only humility, but also the fact that in our lives as believers, we will experience trials and tribulation. You remember what Psalm 23 says? Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, not only that we need humility in our lives, but we also have to realize that if we are going to walk with the Lord in the old path, we will also experience some tribulation and persecution as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. This is part and parcel in our walk with the Lord. Now, gate number 5. And this is very important as well, beloved brothers and sisters. I'm reading verse 14. But the dung gate repaired Malachiah, the son of Rahab, the ruler of part of Beit HaKerem. He built it, and he set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. This is gate number 5, and this is called the dung gate. Those of you that have been with me in Israel just recently, we just crossed through this dung gate. Then what is the dung gate? The dung gate represents all the garbage, the dung that was in the city of Jerusalem. It went out through the dung gate and had been cast into the valley there. And this is very important as well for us today, beloved brothers and sisters, you and I that are so much exposed to everything around us. In order for us to be spiritually growing and being a blessing and building the body of Messiah, there's a lot of garbage that has to be removed out of our hearts and out of our lives. You know, the Lord look at our life, and sometimes we know very well how much dirt, how much dung is existing in my own life, in our own life. And do you think the Lord will bless us and use us among the people of God when that dung is part of our own life? There is no way that the Lord can participate in this. And all of us are responsible like our people of old, the people of Israel, to take all the dung out of our lives, of course, with the help of the Lord, and to throw it outside of our lives so it will not affect us and draw us away from the things of the Lord. You know how it is. The enemy attacks us, whether it is our own flesh, whether it is Satan himself, whether it is the world itself. We are constantly bombarded with all sort of garbage that attacks us and draws us away from the Lord. And therefore, I'm going to read the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 for this ministry meeting in connection with the dung gate. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Shaul Paul told the Corinthians these words: "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." God wants us also, beloved brothers and sisters, as our people of old Israel build the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. The dung gate was representing a removal of that which is not pleasing to God in the life of the people of God. And we too, we know how much garbage is oftentimes coming to our lives, coming to our homes, coming to our families, coming to all what we involve in, and we need the Lord to help us to remove garbage, dung outside, and not only in our own home, in our own life, even in our own circle. We don't want anything that is not pleasing to the Lord. May the Lord just help us with this. May the Lord just lead us on and make us useful for His honor and for His glory, so we will build the body of Messiah for the glory of His name.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.